Beth, thank you so much for sharing your testimony and for sharing with us so openly about your relationship with Jesus and God's sustaining power and strength. We continue to pray for you. We thank you for inspiring us with your journey. Would you pause with me and pray as we open up God's word together? Dear Jesus, thank you for your word that is alive and active. We are so grateful that we get to call you our friend. Come close, come alongside us even now, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of hope, our inspirational song for today, was written by Joseph Scriven, who lived from 1819 to 1886. Now, Joseph had wealth and education and an amazing family and great privilege. And then suddenly tragedy struck him as he was there in his native Ireland. The night before he was to get married, his fiancée tragically drowned. And this plunged him into a sadness and despair where he found solace in Jesus alone. Shortly after the tragedy, he moved from Ireland to Canada. There, he experienced many things, including falling in love again. As he was getting close to his wedding, he lost his fiancée to pneumonia. After this experience, he committed himself, devoted his life to being a help and a friend to anyone who needed him. He was in Port Hope, Canada, and he would serve and he would help and he tutored and he preached. He was known to give his clothes and his possessions to anyone who had need. He would work without pay for people who needed his help. He became known as the Good Samaritan of Port Hope. His mother tragically fell ill. She was suffering, and Joseph wrote a letter to her. And he included one of his newly written poems, this song that we now know as What a Friend We Have in Jesus. He wrote it out and he mailed it to his mother, encouraging her to draw close to Jesus during this time. When he grew ill and had a friend visiting him, Joseph said his friend reached over and picked up the scrap piece of paper that was beside his bed. And he read the words and said, "These are beautiful. Who wrote this?" And this is what Joseph said: "The Lord and I did it between us." This was his response. He had an experience with God that led him to pen these words. They rose up from his journey, from his relationship with God, from the losses that he faced. The poem was put to music by Charles Crozat Converse, who was an American attorney and a composer of church songs. Joseph Scriven had no idea that the poem that he wrote, that he sent to his mother, would go on to be published in the newspaper and later on would become this most famous hymn, treasured by millions of Christians worldwide. These weren't just ideas for Joseph. These weren't just things that he said. These were things that he knew from personal experience. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Oh, Joseph knew griefs. Not just one, losing his fiancée the night before their wedding, but then losing his second fiancée to pneumonia and experiencing loss after loss in his life, he found Jesus to be that close friend and companion. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Do you have trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. We can take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise and forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. What a friend we have in Jesus. It's such a privilege to be able to use this word friend for God. Friend is defined as a person whom one knows and with whom one has a mutual bond of affection. Can you imagine that our God has a bond of affection with us? That actually God reaches out to call us friend. These are the words of Jesus from John chapter 15. You can turn there, find it in your Bibles or on your phone. John chapter 15, verse 13 through 17. Greater love has no one than this, Jesus said. Then he laid down his life for one's friends. You are my friends. Hear those words from Jesus directly to you today. You are my friends. A mutual bond of deep affection. You are my friends. If you do what I command, if you follow after me, if you live my ways in the world, I no longer call you servants, Jesus said, because servants don't know their master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything I learned from the Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Hear these words from Jesus where he calls us friend because we know his heart, we know his mission, we understand his kingdom. We are learning as we walk alongside Jesus to know what it means to live God's way in this world. God's way is a way of redemption, of justice, of peace, of love, a way that the world often finds is contrary to the way that we live. But God calls us to something more, something beautiful. When I am with a good friend, the word that I've often used is I feel like I've come home. What for you conjures up images in your mind of home? Do you imagine your reading nook, your spot where you have your books and your blanket and your hot tea? Or for you is home your woodworking shop or the place that you get to create whatever you do? What is home? Is it your living room and the couches that are gathered in a semicircle where you sit with your family and you sing and you laugh and you have worship and you play games? What is home? What makes home for you? That safety, that place where you get to come. With my good friends, I feel like I've come home because there is this bond of affection, there is this acceptance, there is this safety, this place. And over these years that I have lived in relationship with Jesus, Jesus is home. Jesus is the place where my soul finds home. Just like that cozy reading nook or that creative energy in the shop or that place of connection in the living room, Jesus is home for me. What a friend I have in Jesus that I get to come home to God week after week with the griefs and the struggles and the despair that I get to find home with my God. One thing I've heard over years of ministry is, Pastor, I just don't have a testimony. Other people have those testimonies. They can say, this was the day God changed my life. This is the day that everything was different for me because I was this way and now I am this way. So, Pastor, I just don't have a testimony. Do you find home in Jesus? Have you found a friend in God? I want to ask you, what if God is the place where you feel at home, the place where comfort and healing and grace come just when you need it, the place where you receive and embrace and the strength that you need to go on? Is Jesus where you feel at home? Then you have a testimony. You have a story of how God makes a difference in your life. Because Jesus is that coming home. Jesus is that friend that is safety and acceptance. And sometimes home is so familiar that we would miss it if we didn't stop to look intentionally. you would miss those little things that you love. I was reading a quote about someone who traveled a lot this week, and as they talked about their travel, they talked about that as they pulled away and as they went to foreign places and things that were unfamiliar, the strangest thing happened, that they found themselves missing those things that they hardly noticed when they were home. Turning on the lamp by their bedside, being able to sit in this place or in this way, or all the little comforts of home that are so familiar that you might miss it. For some of you, you've been at home with God for quite a while. Jesus has been that friend that you have grown so used to that you just have to take a little bit of a step back to realize, oh, what a gift. Sometimes it's in the midst of hard diagnoses like Beth faces or other scenarios when we lose a loved one or when we have these struggles that we suddenly realize, oh, this is what I have. This is that depth of connection that I have. This is what will cause me to make it through. And it's our friendship with Jesus that carries us through. This feeling of home. There's a thing that happens when someone is a friend of a friend, isn't there? You can meet someone who's a stranger, and then suddenly you can realize that they are close friends with someone who you are close friends with. And what happens? They're no longer a stranger to you, are they? They're no longer a stranger because they are friends with your friend. There is a bridge there. Sure, you have to have your own experience with them. You have to build your own trust. We build relationship by shared experience, and you have to make your own way. There's journey yet to be had. There's trust yet to be built, but there's care there. There's appreciation there. There's acceptance there that you wouldn't have unless they were a friend of your friend. So being friends with Jesus changes the way that I view other people, because every person that I meet is no longer a stranger, but is a friend of a friend. Think about that for a moment. The bridge created between me and that other person, when I can look at them, this is actually a spiritual practice. This is something that we have to be intentional about doing. But I look at you and I don't see you as a stranger, but I see you as a friend of my dearest friend, Jesus. I see you as someone cared for and loved and deeply, deeply appreciated by Jesus. Suddenly, you're not a stranger. I see you in a different way. I see the world in a different way because of my friendship with Jesus. To be a friend of God means that you look at the world differently. This week we witnessed a tragedy, a trauma, a dehumanizing abuse of power. Mr. George Floyd was murdered by a police officer, and it was caught on camera so that we could all bear witness to his statement, "I can't breathe." And to have another human being look away as they heard his cry. My heart breaks for his family and for his community, and my heart breaks for our nation. What does it mean for us to live as Christians in a place where this can take place? What does it mean for us to live as Christians when this is going on in our world? To be a friend of God means that you look at the world differently. These two men are both friends of our friend Jesus, the perpetrator and the victim. Regardless of whether or not people have accepted him or not, Jesus cares deeply about each one. And Jesus helps us to humanize the other. Being a friend of God means seeing others as friends that an encounter acts putting people into boxes. Perhaps you immediately put the police officer into a box. Perhaps you immediately put George Floyd into a box. Jesus helps us humanize each other, allows us to refuse to put each other in boxes, but instead to live by this principle of love each other. For a friend, this person has a name. It's never, oh, that happened again. There is no that. This person has a name. This is not, oh, I'm sick of hearing about that. This person is a human being. Jesus is the friend that makes everything personal for us. It keeps us from hate on both sides, because to be a friend of Jesus is to walk alongside Jesus in his mission to redeem and to restore the brokenness of this world. Being a friend to all means seeking justice, restorative justice that repairs relationship and bridges to each other. That's what Jesus practiced, and it's what his followers are called to practice. An unjust system is dehumanizing to all people. With Jesus as our friend, we see the humanity in each and every person. We don't stereotype each other or make assumptions about each other or put each other in boxes, but we seek to hear each other and to hear the pain of experiences that might not be our own. To be a true friend is to realize that each and every person needs to be heard, that each and every person is a friend of a friend, a friend of our friend Jesus. The Latin root of the word compassion is compassio. It's two words, and it means to suffer with. As friends of Jesus, we get close to those who are hurting. The Good Samaritan had compassion and crossed the road, went to the other side of someone else's experience and someone else's suffering, and entered in with them and asked, "What can I do? What do I have? What can I give? How can I make a difference?" We're called to do the same thing, to suffer with. And you know, the ultimate example is Jesus, who was willing to cross over to the other side and to enter into our experience and enter into our suffering. And Jesus was not willing to stay on the other side and turn his eye away and to walk on by, but instead he crossed over and entered into our human experience, entered into our suffering. Jesus was compassionate in the fullest and richest example of that word that we could imagine. He suffered with. We are called by the anointing of his Spirit to suffer with one another. And that means to cross the road into experiences that might not be our own, into stories that we might not know firsthand. Compassionate people make wonderful friends. So Jesus is a compassionate friend who understands and enters in and suffers with us. We're called to be those compassionate friends living in this world, following after and alongside our friend Jesus. When I see this hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," I hear the voice of Elder Jesse Spencer immediately in my mind. And I'm back to that Philadelphia basement in the church where we were at, where we would gather around a table, and I'd sit there and I'd hear him sing this song during prayer meeting. It was one of his favorites. And every time that we sang it, he would call out the call and response part. So, "What a friend we have in Jesus. Well, all our sins and griefs to bear. Yes. What a privilege to carry, everything to God in prayer." And you knew, I knew by the tone of his voice and by the response in his words that he knew that deeply. He knew that by experience. He listened to God and what he impressed him to do. He knew how to laugh. Elder Jesse startled us with his offering appeals. We baptized his neighbors together. What I loved about Elder Jesse is that he was a friend to all. His friendship with God translated to how he related to the people around him. The one left without parents, the immigrant, the unemployed, he responded to each need that he saw. Elder Jesse loved people passionately, and he loved people with his actions. I will never forget when we brought Josiah to meet Elder Jesse. And he looked at me and he started crying. And as I looked into his eyes, I started crying too. And I wrote down his words so I would never forget. He said, "Your son is someone who looks like me. You adopted someone who looks like me. I never thought I would see this day. Pastor Tara, you know you are family. We are family." Elder Jesse was one of those people that I found home with. Like so many others, I found welcome and I found love. He's passed away now, but the memory of how he loved continues to make an impact on my life and on the lives of so many others. He was like the one who wrote this hymn. I don't know if he ever knew the history of this favorite song of his, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," but Joseph was a lot like Elder Jesse in how he became this person who would give the clothes off of his back, or this person who would give up this or that for someone else. That was Elder Jesse, and his legacy lives on in the way that I saw hearts turning to Jesus because of his love. You see, friends, life is hard. The world is a mess of the beautiful and moving parts and the ways that humanity just surprises us with awe and with amazing reflections of God's glory, alongside hatred and injustice that leaves us breathless. Fear and worry and anxiety and pressure weigh us down. In turning to Jesus as we do to a trusted friend, in coming to Jesus and finding home in Jesus, we find a safe space to unburden our hearts. Our soul comes home. We find that we don't see the people around us the same way, and that our lives and our gifts and our voice get used in different ways because the kingdom has captured our hearts. The burdens don't go away. But we find that we don't walk this road alone. All that we carry becomes lighter when brought into the loving shelter of the presence of Jesus. Jesus is waiting. Jesus wants to be your friend. Maybe you are a friend of God, but you've gotten so familiar that you've forgotten to turn. Come home, Jesus invites us. Come home to Jesus. Or maybe you've been wandering away for a while and you just sense this moving in your heart. The Holy Spirit is there. Come home. Jesus is ready. What a friend you have in Jesus. Like Beth, like my own experience, like so many others listening, you will find that life is better when you journey it with Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Turn to Jesus even now. Turn and receive this one, this most compassionate friend, this one who comes alongside. The burdens are heavy. Our eyes well with tears. But we walk along with Jesus. Because we do, because we can call Jesus friend, and he calls us friend too, we do not see the world in the same way. So, would you receive him today? And would you notice that each and every stranger around you is no longer a stranger? They are a friend of a friend, the beloved of God.